Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk a little bit about food. It's about flavor. Food is about history. It's about love. You know, putting a little soul into what we eat. But what happens to that soul when machines step in?
Spice is a brand new restaurant concept. It's the world's first restaurant featuring a robotic kitchen.
That's Michael Ferret, CEO of Spice, the new robotic restaurant in Downtown Crossing. Radio Boston producer-reporter Jamie Bologna and I visited a couple of weeks ago on the restaurant's first day.
That's the first bowl!
That's the first bowl, so it's right over here.
So there aren't futuristic robot chefs here that have swapped tokes for cybernetic control systems. Spice features 7 automatic mixing and cooking bowls that spin and heat up fresh ingredients.
And it's kind of mesmerizing to watch as an orange ingredient delivery system slides back and forth above each one of the woks.
That orange box, we call that the runner. That's sort of what collects the different ingredients for your meal, and it delivers them to one of the cooking woks. What you see over here, the 7 cooking woks, that's what sort of cooks, mixes, and sears your meal.
Right behind you, Marcos.
All right, so where am I?
All right, so what you're listening to here, that's the sound of our chicken and rice searing and sizzling in the robotic wok. Coming over this way a little bit, we're looking at the chicken and rice is about to end, so the contents just tilted down into the bowl.
Oh, wow.
The bowl's going to swivel back out, and then you're going to hear the sound of the wash over here. So that's sort of, it's kind of like a steam wash. It's a high-pressure hot water, gets all the particulate off and gets it ready for the next meal. It also sanitizes it, so it's nice and clean after.
The robot cooks and cleans. I'm kind of loving this. So maybe it's not surprising that Ferret and his co-founders are graduates of
MIT.
We were in college, myself and my co-founders. We were at MIT, and we felt that we couldn't get a delicious, healthy meal at anything less than, say, $10 or $12. Obviously, we were, as engineers, this was the solution that we thought of.
So, I'm Italian-American. I love my mother's tomato sauce. I will readily admit it is not the best sauce in the world, but to me it is because it's made with love and care by a human being who matters to me. And so I'm curious how you're hoping to capture that love and human spirit that goes into food, that it matters to so many people.
I think that's a very valid question. I think that's part of the way we design the experience. We recognize, firsthand that most people probably don't want to get their food from a mechanized system. And so you actually get your food with a smile from one of our garmagers. We have the robot really focus on what robots are good at. That's sort of the repetitive tasks, the hot tasks. Standing in front of a wok for hours is not, the most pleasant job to do. The garmagers focus on the customer service, and they focus on the hospitality aspect. And so you get a combination of the experience from the fun technology, but absolutely, the people are so important to the experience.
Jamie, let's be honest here for a second. The technology, it's new, it's cool.
And people at Spice on opening day loved watching the robot do its work.
But we walked outside because we had to get to the end of the line.
Which was going out the door.
And while we were waiting, you couldn't help it. Remember what you said?
I feel like I've partially seen our future. I don't know.
So when Stephanie V was getting her, we have to go outside now. The line's so long, it's like come outside
here.
Yeah,
we have to loop around to the other
end. Oh my gosh, Keytar Bear. Hello, Keytar Bear. What's up?
You never know what you're going to see in Boston.
Keytar Bear next to a robot restaurant. Perfect Boston moment.
I am struck by the juxtaposition of where we are, because there's Chipotle and a Clover. There's also a Starbucks across the way and a Dunkin' Donuts next door. I guess I wonder how many other ways things will get automated.
It is hard not to think of all the food service employees that robots like this will replace. It's hard. So I'm going to play devil's advocate, Jamie, right now. And I'm thinking, he was making the point about how standing in front of a hot wok or a hot pan all day long, it's hard, greasy, uncomfortable work. So, why not try to make that easier or remove that from what a human has to do? And as long as there's, now I'm not convincing myself anymore. As long as there are other jobs for that human.
I just want to say I haven't said anything so far in response.
I'm talking myself out of my own devil's advocacy.
But no, because I think, I don't actually think it's about today's restaurant. I think it's about tomorrow's restaurant.
Yes.
Well, and, I mean, he did say he wanted to bring the cost down from $12, but I don't know where the $12 bowls are.
Wait, so, but the bowls are still $7.50. That's like the same price as a Chipotle bowl.
But it, maybe it's about bringing down the cost for them.
Well, yeah.
I don't think a robot requires healthcare, although it probably requires maintenance.
Yeah, a taste test is going to really determine this, yeah. I think.
Jamie, I really enjoyed that, waxing philosophical with you about how there's no industry, seriously, that's immune to the effects of automation.
But, Magna, do you remember what happened when we finally got to the kiosks, that bank of touchscreens where you have to tap in your order?
Yes. The same thing that happens basically every time I use a CVS self-checkout machine.
It's okay, you hit cancel.
I just canceled.
No, okay. But not the whole thing.
User error. It's not working.
All right, let me get help. A human being to the rescue.
Now, you see, I was expecting to not have to bother an actual person.
Oh, no, it's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
There was some issue with the payment.
And she tapped a couple of screens and fixed it.
Right, so then we waited along with this big crowd of people watching the robot deliver and heat and mix our food bowls.
Okay, so do you see where it says your bowl?
No, I don't. No. It says ready to plate.
But, so there's a screen above every one of the robots saying like now cooking bowl for whomever.
Oh, hi, look. Jamie B.
And Magna C, we're completing cooking.
Magna C, we're completing cooking.
It just plopped out, see? But here's the thing. They've also figured out that like people will love seeing their name up on a board and take a picture of it.
And they were doing exactly that. Remember, Jamie? Like smartphone selfies with the restaurant robot.
But of course, as we've been saying, the real test is the food itself. So, Magna, we grabbed our bowls and we sat down next to Alicia Fay and Louis Baroa.
It's pretty cool that, like, we thought it was going to be more like robot servers or something like that, but that they're, like, actually cooking the food and dropping. And it's really cool how, like, you look up and it's like, hi, Alicia, and I'm cooking your meal, and you can see it rotating around in there. And then you're really surprised that it tastes really good because you're like, well, what do robots know about flavor?
Because I keep worrying about, like, what about the restaurant workers that the robots are replacing?
There's always place for human touch, you know what I mean? Like, you can't replace.
There's always a place for a human, yeah, because, I mean, there's definitely things that the robot.
Someone had to buy the ingredients. Someone had to put those stuff together, you know?
The humans are good, too, here.
Yeah, the human part is pretty nice. I mean, I came for the robots. I stayed for the humans, so.
Okay, Jamie.
All right, should we try this?
All right.
So Magna C.
You got the what?
I got the Thai bowl.
Okay, and I got the Indian bowl. It's like a robot hybridization of a classic Indian meal that you'd find in Mumbai. So they have tamarind and like crispy rice and these tiny little things called shave and raisins. And I mean, it's like Mumbai street food. It's like the robot version of that. All right, here I go. Gonna try it.
Oh no, your face is telling me everything, which no one else can see, but you're crinkling up your nose here. You didn't like it.
No, I didn't. I mean, it was just kind of, I don't know, a strange warm mixture of this kind of mishmashy set of curry flavors, Jamie. I mean, okay, let's just put it this way. My mom's food is not going to be replaced by a robot anytime soon. There is no fear of that.
Of course. And then I tried the Thai bowl, and your judgment was just as harsh. Here's what you said.
Like, it kind of tastes the same.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the challenge of a series of tubes splotting out ingredients and mixing them together.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fundamental challenge of any automation. The easiest, most straightforward way to automate anything is to make everything the same. I mean, Henry Ford knew that in the early 20th century. You can have any color of car you want as long as it's black.
Right. And you can have any grain bowl you want as long as it's peanut curry.
As long as it's some, like, weird melange of, like, various Western interpretations of Asian flavors.
But, Magna, the car analogy also means Henry Ford had it right.
Right, because today, cars made by both humans and robots,
they're everywhere right now, all over the world. So maybe one day, restaurant robots will be too.
We are the robots. We are the robots.
Well, Radio Boston producer and reporter Jamie Bologna there with me on a trip to Spice, the first robotic kitchen in Boston or pretty much anywhere in the world. Jamie, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back talking a little bit more about food, its history, and its heart. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.